Jim the right words to tell us, the right words to teach us. Father, help us to be pliable, help us to be prepared, help us to open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Father, just thank you so much for this class. Thank you for Jim's time and ability and his patience in teaching us, Father. Just we're here wanting to learn more about you. Father, we want to know more about you. We want to apply your words to our lives. And Father, just thank you so much for loving us enough to give us your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Brother Noah asked me what an Indian giver was. We might do that already. We know what an Indian giver is. Now, there's a story about Lone Ranger and Tonto. And the Lone Ranger ran into this town. You know, the newest Lone Ranger movie, you know, they have him doing things different. You know, of course, he was a minister in this movie. But he rode up into this town, and him and Tonto went into the bar, and they got a glass of root beer or whatever. And they were sitting there, drank it, and the guy came in there, and he says, "Is that your horse out there?" Yeah, he's my horse. He said, "That horse is about to die." So he went out there, and he was dying of, Silver was dying of thirst, you know, dehydration. So they got a bunch of water. And so he said, "Tonto, run around him real fast. Just keep running around him and waving, you know, give him a little air, you know, like this." So anyway, the Lone Ranger went back into the bar place and started finishing his root beer. And a guy walked in. He said, "Whose horse is that out there?" He says, "My horse. What's going on now?" He says, "Nothing." He said, "You left your engine running."
Only from a Baptist preacher.
Now, see, that's from an Indian. They always used to say that they could tell I was an Indian if they put a sack over my head. 12 and verse 16 of the Gospel according to John. 12 and verse 16. John 12 and verse 16. Tauta, Uk, Agnoson, Hauku, Toi, Matete, To, Proton, All, Hote, Enoxoste, Jesus, Tote, Emethason, Hote, Alta, Ain, Epi, Alto, Gegramina, Kai, Alta, Kepoison, Alto. These things not they knew of him, the disciples, the first, but when he was glorified, Jesus, then they remembered. Look at that word "remember" there. That comes from memenion. That means memorial, a memorial service or whatever. Memenesco comes from memorial. After they remembered that these things he kept on being said about him, okay, upon him, and having been written. The Old Testament testified in hundreds of places that Jesus Christ would be betrayed. He would come, he would be born under the law, born of a woman, etc., etc. They had a real hard time understanding the Trinity, or the Triune God, because they didn't have computers yet. That's the reason. They had a hard time understanding the Triune God because they didn't have a computer yet. And here God the Son was in his physical presence. How many of you know a little bit about computers? Brother Mike, you know computers a little bit. How about you, Noah? You know computers pretty good, don't you? Cindy probably does. Dick, do you know anything about computers?
Not much.
All right. Pamela, do you know anything about computers?
Some, yeah.
How about you, Roger? You took a class on it, didn't you? Okay. Do you know what hardware is? What's hardware?
The physical thing. Yeah.
The physical thing. The physical. Tangible objects. Okay? Tangible. What is software? Roger, you already know this. What is software?
It's
It's not tangible.
It's not touchable. Not tangible. God is one part hardware and two parts software. Man is made in his image, one part hardware, two parts software. Only one part of God you'll ever be able to see and touch, and that's Jesus. That's Jehovah. Okay? We're talking about a triune God. We're talking about a triune man. Now, you have spirit and you have soul, don't you? It's pretty hard to touch that, isn't it? But we know the tangible part of every person is their physical impression that they leave upon us. So, they had a hard time with this. We have a hard time with it, too. There are people that believe in three gods. There are people who believe in four gods. At least most of them believe in four gods. Four physical impressions of God. But that's not so. There's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Ahad. One. One physical expression, one hardware, two software. You're one hardware, two software. Okay? They have a lot of trouble understanding this. And we're going to see that in this lesson tonight. These things nothing new of him, the disciples. Now we're talking about the church members. These are mathetes, means what? Habitual learners. These are the disciples, the church members of his little church. They're following him around all over the place. But because when he was glorified, these things that kept on being said upon him, literally, having been written, these things they did to him. All right? He would be arrested. He would be beaten. He would be tried illegally. And he would be crucified illegally. 12:17. Un ho opo. Ho un net auto hote ton lazaron ephanason ek tu menameu kai egerent auton ek necron. And third person singular imperfect dicti gati. He kept on witnessing, therefore, the crowd. He kept on. The crowd, Brother Dick, look at that word ho-oklos right there. See that word ho-oklos? Number, gender, and case. What is it? The crowd. The crowd is spoken of as a unit in singular. Okay? So the verb is going to be in singular. That describes the crowd. How many is in that crowd? Oklos. How many people are in this crowd? Huh? 5,000 to 10,000 people in this crowd. Quite a few people in Oklos. Okloi is 10,000 to 20,000 people. Right now we got Oklos. Okloi is plural. Oklos is singular. And that ho in front of it, that's nominative singular, nominative singular masculine definite article. See that ho? When you see ho in front of something, you've got nominative singular masculine. That's how you see it right off the end. And then the omicron sigma on the back tells you that it's nominative singular masculine. Now, he kept on witnessing. Now, this word, emartere, is third person singular, perfect indicative active. Okay? It's third person singular because the crowd is looked upon as a unit. This is a little grammatical exercise here, okay? Hope you don't get bored with it. But there's some neat things in here. The crowd. The one being. Look at that one. The one. Again, whole there. Whole is nominative singular masculine definite article. It's still describing the crowd, and now it says the crowd being. That word being there comes from naming. Alright, which means to be. Right here it's present, participle, active, nominative singular masculine. The one being with him. 10,000 people were following Jesus. Okay? Being with him and of him, close to him, when the Lazarus, now Lazarus there is ton lazaron. Now, that tone there, it can tell you right off the bat what case, number, gender, and case that's in. That's accusative singular masculine. All right? And he called, third person singular, first person, dignity out of the tomb. Remember when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb? And these people have been following him because they saw the God of the resurrection. Jesus has powers. Powers that no one else has ever displayed because he is the Messiah, the HaMashiach. And he raised him. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative vacuum. How long did it take him to raise him? This is first aorist. What does first aorist mean? Remember what that one meant? Annie, you got that one down yet? First aorist? All right. Here's first aorist, here's second aorist. Okay? First aorist is knife, blade, sharp action. Second aorist is familiar, but a little more durative, linear. All right? His first aorist. When Lazarus heard his voice, instantly, he is raised. That's just the same way you get saved, too. Instantly. When the Lord saved your soul, it's once and for all, first aorist. Saved. We're saved. All right? Because out of the tomb, the place of memory. See that word, menemion? Our word memory comes out of that. Menemion. And he raised him out of the dead ones. Look at that. He was among the dead people. Ek necron. Out of the dead ones. Or out of dead ones, literally. The can be supplied there. Because we know it's out of the dead ones. Call them verse 18 now. Diatuto. Alright. Chi is not, it's got a double bracket on it, but we'll just say chi anyway. Hepentasem. Alto. Ho oklos. Hote. Hakuson. Tuto. Alton. Hepoikene. Samuel. Because of this thing, that diatuto, that's a little figure of speech. Diatuto means because of this thing, all right? It's a little, that tuto there, dia is a preposition on page 90 in that little analytical Greek lexicon. And then tuto is a demonstrative pronoun. Also, that's a cumulative particle. We can look at it either. It's there grammatically, period. It met. Or literally, he met him, the crowd. Look at that again. Hepentasem. It comes from hepo and antopo. Literally, the crowd came into his presence. And it's looked upon as a unit again. Because here we have ho, hoklos. Now, do you see the arrow that I drew from the hole up there to the hepentasem? See that, Brother Dan? That's describing it right there. The crowd, nominative singular masculine. Definite article, nominative singular masculine. And then hote, because they heard. Now, look at this one. This one goes from singular to plural. Here we have a crowd looked upon as singular because it's a whole crowd. But now, each and every, I mean, how many of you have families? Or how many do you have saved people in the families? All right, that's real good. Now, each and every one of those people have to get saved individually, don't they? That's not something that does like a unit. So now here, each and every one, each and every person in the oklos had to hear and understand and believe, okay? Because they heard, each one in the crowd, third person plural, first aorist, punctual reaction, indicative active, this thing, him to have done the sign, the great sign. The great sign. Go on to verse 19 now. Hoi, un, pariseoi. Upon, pros, hiatos, diarete. Hote, huk, o, pelete, udain, ide, o, cosmos, hopiso, alto, apelthi. All right. Therefore, the ones Pharisees. Look at that word hoi and pharisioi. See that? Hoi is what? That's nominative plural masculine. When you see that hoi there, that's nominative plural masculine. How many plural masculine you have? 8 cases in Greek. All right. Over here is your singular. Over here is your plural. Over here would be the endings would be hos, and the plural endings would be hois, like that. Definite article. Ho, nominative singular masculine. Definite article plural. Nominative plural masculine. Okay? You got it? Simple. I fall off a rock. Free Indians really easy to fall off a rock. The ones therefore are Pharisees. Now what does the word Pharisee? The word Pharisee means that's a Hebrew word. Do you know what that word means, Brother Roger? It means separated. In the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. The word Peleg means divided, and the word divided there in Hebrew is also divided. In the days of divided, God divided the earth. So here we have the word Pharisioi. These are the ones that thought they were so super special and so more religious than everybody else. They set themselves aside. And then there was a group of Pharisees that were even above them. They spoke Hebrew in their homes. Not very many people did. And Paul the Apostle was a Pharisee of Pharisees. The super elite. The super elite. Okay? Well, these are the Pharisees, and the Apostle Paul is part of this. And therefore the Pharisees, they said, third person plural, second aorist, indicative active, they said, and they said, and they said. A few times. Toward one another, among themselves, hiatus. Alright? Theorete. Theorete. What word in English do you think we got out of theorete? Theater. A theater is a place where you go look at something. Okay? Now, how many of you people have been around here for 50 or 60 years? All right. Do you remember when they opened up the Terrace Theater and they made it real wide? They put the extensions on it?
Yep.
Nobody. Oh boy, now here we go. This is really good. I got somebody there who knows these things. They really did this at one time. They sent it wide vision, Panavision, you know. They put it up there, and up there they had the first time it opened, they had a real long 20 mule team right below that screen. 20 mules hooked up to a wagon. The first time they were, I got to go on there. For some reason or other, I got to do that. But that's how wide it was. As wide as a 20 mule team.
Wow.
All right. Were you there, Penny?
No.
Well, I was hoping I could find somebody around here old enough that could remember that.
I never heard of the mules.
All right. They had a 20 mule team up there right below the screen. 20 and verse 20. Go back a little bit. A theater. They look toward one another, ye behold that not ye profit nothing. Ye behold the world after him, it is gone. We can't catch him, we can't stop him, we can't kill him. It's impossible to kill this man and stop him. The whole world is going after him. Whole cosmos. Look at that. They learned ho there. What is that ho there, Brother Dick? That's a definite article. What kind of a number, gender, and case do you think that is? That's nominative, singular, masculine, cosmos. Look at that. Omicron sigma on the end of that. The whole world after him is gone. Now this is a figure of speech. What is a figure of speech here? Anybody know what the figure of speech is? What's the figure of speech? What?
Idiom.
Well, it's an idiom, all right. But what kind of a figure of speech is this? Got a real figure of speech here. What is this called? This is what we call a hyperbole. What is a hyperbole? It comes from Greek. Hyper and bolo. Hyper means what?
Over.
Bolo means to throw. Let me show you a little bit about prepositions. Prepositions at one time in Greek were adverbs, by the way. Here we have a rock. Let me show you some prepositions and what they mean. Okay?
This is very important. I haven't done this for a long time.
Dear Ross,
now, in is the preposition that we get our word in from. Okay? When you go in, the preposition in is in the rock or in the box. Okay? Now let's look at the word epi. All right? Epi in relation to the box, where is it? Or the rock? Upon it. Right up here. Okay? And then hypo, where do you think that is? Under the box. Okay? You got it? How about dia? Where do you think that is? Where does that go? Related to the rock or the box. Through it. Now, the Greek preposition ace. This is very important. Hey, put your thinking hats on right here. This is very important. You will not understand ace until you look at this. Now with ace, we got two boxes, two rocks. Well, try this again. Okay. Here we have ace. Start writing backwards. Almost wrote S.
I came to it. Ace. Extension or limitation of the order of verbal action. What does this ace entail? Extension of thought or verbal action.
Ace can go over something. It can go up to it. It can go through it. It can go under it. And it can go backwards the same way. Upon, under, and to. According to the syntax of what's going on.
Acts 2:38. You're baptized for the remission of sins, King James it said, because they believe in baptismal regeneration.
You're baptized because of the remission of sins.
Believing in Jesus. Ace Jesus.
All the way through Jesus, all the way into eternity future.
You understand that now? Just a little better? I'm not really trying to bore you to death in grammar tonight. Sometimes I just like to throw a little bit of it on it to make you think, because without the grammar, you can't understand this. Unless you study a little Hebrew, you can't understand John's gospel anyway, because John uses a lot of Hebrews, period. You can't really understand Greek too much unless you know the Hebraism. You can't understand Hebrew unless you know a little bit about the fulfillment of the prophecies in the New Testament and how the action's supposed to go. All right. The whole world after him, it is gone. Second Aramis. The whole world after him is gone. That's what we call a hyperbole. The whole world didn't go after Jesus at this point in time, but there was a lot of them. There's at least 10,000 people following him all over the place since Lazarus was raised out of the dead. Since the blind man was healed, that was blind from his mother's womb. These are messianic credentials. He healed 10 lepers one time, didn't he? The leper could not be healed according to the law of Moses unless it was a what? A divine act. And they had to have proof. They had to go back and check it. They had staph infection back there. Did you know that? Staph infection at that period of time. That's what happened to one of the plagues of Egypt, was staph infection. And when the plagues in the house... Have you ever heard of reading the Bible where the house had leprosy? It had staph infection in it. And mold. And it couldn't get it out. And you go back and you wash it down. And you wash it down with live soap. They would take ashes and mix it with water. That's lye soap, people. And they'd wash it. If it kept coming back, tear the house down, burn it. Burn on top of the ground. Kill that infection. Kill that mold, whatever it was. Now, we looked at last week, the Sanhedrin had put out a reward for the arrest of Jesus happened. They were going to kill him. And not only that, but they had put out a reward and a contract on Lazarus. Now, they should have believed in Jesus, but they did not want to. Provocational. They were reprobate. You know what a reprobate is? Remember what the reprobate?
Oh, you
don't want to tell me. Oh, okay. Anybody know what a reprobate is? What's a reprobate? Brother Dick, you know what a reprobate is?
Well, you usually relate it to a very immoral person.
A reprobate literally means one that has denied faith. These people were genuine, 100%, 24-karat reprobates. They had denied the faith that they were propagating, supposedly. Okay? 12 and verse 20. Some Greeks see Jesus. Now they're real jealous. Now the Jews get jealous about the Greeks. Okay? Now in the book of the first book of Moses, in the book of Genesis, the prophecy of Noah and his sons is said that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. That prophecy means that the Shemites would take the gospel in the future and that they would become the administrators of God's kingdom in the church age. Okay? That's pretty neat. Said that book in the book of Genesis. All right? Which they will. The church today is a Gentile church. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ is mostly Gentile. Hardly any Jews. The Jews still want to meet in synagogues. They're going to give it up. They don't want to give it up. They don't want to follow the Lord and go to one of His churches. They want to just go out and play religion still. And do all the same things they've been doing that pointed to Christ. They need to lay that stuff aside. You can't go back to those offerings. It's kaput. No more. 12 and 20, a song. De Helenes. Hines, ek, ton, ana, binonto. Hina, pros, kinesos. Ente, erote. Now they're kept on being. Third person plural is perfect to think they've got. They're kept on being Greeks. These are real Greeks. Not just Greek speaking. There were Greek speaking Jews, a whole lot of them, because almost all of them spoke Greek. Some of them spoke Aramaic, but most of them spoke Greek as their language of commerce. Even the Roman Empire used Greek as the language of commerce. Even the Roman coins were written with Greek, in Greek. Okay. When Latin really caught on, when the Catholic Church got control, came into control, and had the Latin Vulgate printed by Jerome. Thank you. I think his name. And he did that in Bethlehem. And then they said they denounced and forbid any use of scriptures in the Greek language. Greek is a perfect language, you know. For God. Just think about how God provided His New Testament, His Heikinai Diatheke. The New Testament, the New Covenant, is going to be written in Greek. Greek, the most perfect language that has ever been used among mankind. Alright? Most definite language. How He allowed that language to evolve out of the dialects and into classical, and into the Koine Greek, which means everybody used it all over the Western world. And now He puts His holy word in that language. And the Catholic Church tries to do away with it. Right? There wouldn't be a whole lot of denominations today if everybody used the Greek Bible. You know that? And it cut down a whole lot of it. And they're kept on being now Greeks. Some out of the ones going up in order that they might worship in the feast. Now, some of these are Hellenistic Jews, and these are real Greeks in here also. There were Greeks that believed. Alexander the Great ordered the Bible to be translated the Old Testament be translated in Greek. That's what we call the Septuagint. So they would have access to the Holy Scripture of old. Alright, now these Greeks are coming here that they might kiss the hand of, bend the knee. That's what that means there. Pros kineson. Kinesosin. That means that they might, third person plural, first aorist, subjunctive. When it talks about worship, it's always in the volitative mode. What are the two modes in Hebrew? The two active modes in Hebrew that portray the volitation.
Jussive
and cohorte. And here is the equivalent in Greek. It's there. Volition is there in all the scriptures. There's always volition. I believe in election. I believe in predestination. I believe in foreordination and all that. But according to volition also. Period. You can't get around it. Now the Jews thought that Jesus was going to turn all of his attention to the Greeks because they were believers. Now, in the Greek culture, what stands out in the Greek culture? What is the outstanding element of Greek culture? What is it?
Gymnasium.
What?
Gymnasium.
Gymnasium, that comes right out of Greek, doesn't it? They were athletic. But what was the most athletic activity that the Greeks did? They were known for, still known today in the world. Reason. Understanding, studying, scholars. They're scholars. That's what the Greeks are, they're scholars. And they still worship scholars. Scholastic ability. They have great minds. Okay? Verse 21, Hutoi. Moon, proselphon, silpho, ko, apo, bathesta, tais, galileos, kai, eroton, auton, legontes, kerie, zelomen, ton, esun, ede. Therefore, these ones, nominative plural masculine, see that hoi on the end of that, Brother Dick, do you see that? The very first word there? That means nominative plural masculine. Okay? It was ho in front of it, and OS on the end of it, or omicron sigma, that would be nominative singular masculine. You get these endings down a little bit, guys and girls. Therefore, little particle, they approached pros erkamai. They approached Philippo. Philippo. What does Philip mean?
Horse lover.
Philo means I like, and he pulls horses. I like horses. That's what Philip means. And the word Philip actually comes from Philip of Macedon. Philip was a very popular name back then. Joshua was a very popular name in Jesus' time. Judah was a very prominent name. But in the Greek name, Philip was a very wonderful name because Philip of Macedon. And Philip of Macedon was who? Alexander the Great's father. Okay? Therefore, they approached Philip, the one from Bethsaida. Bethsaida. What's Bethsaida mean? House of something, huh?
Yeah.
House of what? Cindy, you remember that one? House of what? What is this house of what? Have any idea there, Tammy? Noah? Rhonda? Mark? Dick? Who's going to bail me out on this? Pamela. The house of what? Brother Roger. Marilyn.
Oh, house of figs?
No. Penny, you're the last one on the wall. Wait, it's the last. See, it means house of the nets. This is the place where they spread the nets and let the nets dry and then repaired the nets from the fishermen. Okay? This is the place of spreading of nets. The house or the place of spreading of nets and repairing the nets. You had to spread the nets out, let them dry, and then you had to sew the nets and repair them because they would get torn or whatever. So this Bethsaida is the place of the spreading of nets. And what does Galileos mean?
Circle.
Circle. The Sea of Galilee is a, or the Lake of Gennesaret, or whatever you want to call it. It is, all around there is a circle of little cities. Okay? Circle. And they kept on requesting. They kept on interrogating him. Erotao. Erotao. Look at that word, erotao. That means to interrogate. That means to constantly question him. Look at that word. Third person pronoun there. Accusative singular masculine. See the omicron sigma or omicron nu on the end of that? That means it's accusative singular masculine. Out told. Saying. Saying, legotes. Nominative plural masculine, present participle active. Saying. Kyrie. Master, Lord, Adonai. All right? Lord, we wish, we continually wish the Jesus to see. All right? We wish, serve, we live, wish that Jesus to see. They wanted to see. They were even calling them Lord because they were personally acquainted with. Has anybody ever told you that I can tell you're a Christian by the way you act? I hope somebody asked you that one time. Now that's, this is, Jesus was rubbing off on these people. 1222 now, 1222. Erkete. Ho Philippos. Kylege. To Andrea. Erkete. Andreas. Kai. Philippos. Kai. Lagunasin. To Esu. And he comes to Philip. And he comes to Philip. Third person singular, present, indicative, middle voice. Under his own power, Philip comes. Okay? Middle voice. What would that be in Hebrew? What would be the indicator here? The cohorte or the juicy? Okay? The Philip. And he says, third person singular, present, indicative, lego, a lege. How many can conjugate that verb for me? Lego, legace, legay, legopin, legetti, legusi, legay. Isn't that pretty? That's the way you do it, okay? Oase, omenetti, usiane. That's present, indicative, active. Verb ending. Okay? And this is third person singular, present, indicative, active. Comes from Lego. And he says to the Andrew, what does Andrew mean? Andrew means what? Huh? Andrew. Andrew. Masculine. Manly. That's what it means. Masculine. And the equivalent in Hebrew is Anashim. Okay? Anashim. Manly. Humankind. Men. Men. To the Andrew, and he comes, Andrew, and Philip, and they say to the Jesus. Now look at that word to. To esu. To there is dative singular masculine. Definite article. Dative singular masculine. In Greek there are eight cases. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. That's all of the eight cases. Right here was the dative. That's two or four. Alright? Philip and Andrew, they say to Jesus. To Jesus. Alright? Now, in our little box right here, there's another preposition that's pros. Pros means to. To right there. Now, in this sentence here, according to syntax, we could have had pros out to there. Pros out to. Okay? But we didn't. All right. We don't need it. It's understood. That's what you call a practical substantive in there. Something that stands in practically, just like Kai was a while ago, and different words that we put in there because we understand that they're there. And he came saying to the Jesus. Okay? To the Jesus. 1223. Ho de Jesus. Apocrinate. Autois. Legol. Ele. Ele lui thing. He. Ora. Hina. Doxaste. Ho. Quios. To. Anthropu. And now the Jesus. Look at that word Ho Jesus there, Brother Dick. Now what kind of, what number gender case is that? The nominative case is a case of the subject. Jesus, he is the subject here, and he's going to answer. And the Jesus, he answers. Third person singular present, indicative middle for himself. Apokrinomai. It actually, it means to judge from. It means to catch up in speech. All right? When Greeks, the picture of two people talking in Greek is one throwing a ball to the other. You throw the ball, and the ball is a sentence or a paragraph. The guy catches it and throws the ball back, and that's his apokrinomai, his answer. Catch the ball and throw it back, back and forth, back and forth. He caught up in speech is what it literally says. And he answers, or he caught up in speech to them, deity, plural, masculine, third person pronoun. See that word autois on the end of it? That's deity, plural, masculine. Saying, nominative singular masculine, saying, he continued to say, this is a participle. And he'd say, it has arrived. Third person singular, second perfect. It has arrived. It has arrived. The hey holra. Look at that word hey there. That's nominative singular masculine. I'm nominative singular feminine, that is, definite article. The hora is nominative singular feminine. The hour is feminine. In order that he may be glorified, the son of the man. He may be glorified. He may cause to be glorified. Look at that word. Doxaste. See that little eo, the subscript under that ada? That tells you it is in the subjunctive mode. May or may not be. Okay. In order that he may be glorified, the son of the man. This is the time that he may be glorified. What was contingent upon the Lord being glorified? What contingencies do we have here? Had to be arrested. He had to be tried. And of course, we know that he was innocent, but how many times did Pontius Pilate declare Jesus was innocent? Five times. Five is the number of grace in the Bible. He declared him innocent five times, but they wouldn't listen. They did not want to listen. He turned their own law on them and said, you're breaking your own law. And they said, so what? We want him killed. I'm innocent of this man's blood. And he washed his hands. And what did they say? Let his blood be upon us and our children. And it has been. And it still is. That he may be glorified, the whole wheels. Wheels. What does wheels mean? The hair. The absolute hair. Now, if you go back into the Hebrew idea, what does that word in Hebrew mean? Right there. Anybody know what that word is?
The sun.
That's ben. Ben. Ben is sun. Ben. Ben means what? Beno means daughter. Ben means according to a pattern. The idea of the Greek, of the wheels, means that in the children will reside the spirit and the integrity of the father. In the children you will see the father. When the father is gone, you will still see the father in the son. You understand? That's the idea. The wheels, the air, the extension. Jesus told Philip and Nathanael. They said what? Show us the Father. And he said, how long have I been with you and you did not know me? Remember, man is two parts software and one part hardware. And Garth is two parts software and one part hardware. The God that you're going to see is the Son. The God you're going to feel is what? Spirit. The God that you're going to know is what? The Father. They're integral, yet they're separate, yet they're one. You, the best way to describe this here, this tears these 12 witnesses thumb up. It really does. Okay? John 1:1, John 1:14, John 1:18. Matter of fact, John, all the way from John chapter 1 to the last chapter of John, is impossible to act if you take it in context all the way. John has one message. Here is the heir. Here is Jehovah in flesh. I keep hearing people, preachers, preach that God the Father is Jehovah, and that in space and time He made His Son. The Word. That is pure heresy. That's heresy. God the Father is Jehovah. And God the Son is His Messiah. That's pure Jehovah's Witness stuff, people. God the Father is God the Father. God the Son is Jehovah. We have God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is software. God the Spirit is software, not physical. Jehovah means what? What does the name Jehovah mean? He who shall become. He, the becoming one. John 1:1, John 1:14, 1:18. John the 8th chapter, John the 10th chapter. Colossians the 1st chapter. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. The book of Revelation. All the Word. The Word of God. Hadvar is Jehovah Himself. Not God the Father. God the Father is the plan. God the Father is intangible. God the Spirit is intangible. God the Son is hardware. Physical. That is the physical impression of the invisible, intangible, intangible software. You understand that? Let's go. The hour, the famine hour, in order that He may be glorified, the Son of the Man. Now, for God to have form, He has to take on humankind, doesn't He? He has to take on Anashim. He is the seed of the woman. Jesus Christ is born into the world free of sin, because the woman does not pass on the sin. Yeah, Tammy, you're going to have a baby in about how many weeks?
9 weeks.
Do you know that you're not going to pass the sin nature on to that child? You know whose fault that is?
Now.
Huh?
I know now.
Yes, sir. Isn't that wonderful? You know who passed the sin nature on that child? The guy sitting right by. He's a nice looking guy. Just a wonderful guy. But that's where the sin nature comes from, not from you. Did you know when Tammy was born that you didn't pass the sin nature on to her, Rhonda?
I didn't know.
You didn't know that. Now you do.
I do.
Not one woman ever passed the sin nature on to a child. It's the daddy's fault. The son of woman, literally. I love the way Enoch puts it. The son of woman, not the son of man. The word here, anthropo here, it is anashim in Hebrew. The son of mankind. Alright? It means the son of woman. This is the promise of Genesis 3:15. You go back to Genesis 3:15. And we have a duel prophecy. A duel prophecy. That Jesus Christ in space and time will become tangible. Tangible. Hardware. Real in flesh. Walking, living, breathing. Heart pumping blood to a body of flesh. Now, just as we have, the devil's an old copycat, isn't he? Just as we see a tangible God in flesh, we're going to see a tangible Satan in flesh in the person of the Antichrist. Doesn't that just, he may be in the world today. You don't realize that? That man may be walking this ground to that. He may be walking God's earth. And that is a person that here we come from the from Lucifer. He's going to bring forth his child, the seed of a woman. Jesus Christ is what? Made of a woman. Made under the law. And here we have the lawless one, the anomia. The lawless one, the outlaw, that shall bring forth his seed, tangible, material, hardware into the world to destroy the world once again. Satan and his cohorts in eternity past, when they were placed over there, over this earth. Here's a hard question. How many Edens were there? How many Edens were there in the Bible?
One.
No. There's not one Eden in the Bible. There's two Edens in the Bible. One Eden was the throne of Lucifer. One Eden was the throne of Lucifer. The second Eden was the throne of Adam. God created the first Eden, and it was so beautiful and everything. And he put Lucifer over the first Eden. Read Isaiah and Ezekiel. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. And it tells you what about the other Eden. And then God created and watered a garden and built this beautiful garden, and he placed Adam in his throne room, which was the Garden of Eden, without sin. God made Lucifer without sin. Lucifer means what? It's actually, that's Latin. What? My carrier. What is Lucifer's real name in Hebrew? Hello. My carrier. He made him perfect. He put him in a perfect world, and he destroyed that world. He destroyed it. And that's the destruction we have in Genesis 1 and 2. And then we have God building the second Eden. Eden number 2. Okay? Eden number 2. And that's where he put man in that Eden. And you know what Satan's going to do? He's going to send his man into Eden. The world that was, the world that is, and the world shall become. That's what the Bible talks about, three worlds. Huh? The world that was, way back out. The world that is, the world that God reconstructed. And this reconstructed world, just as Satan and his cohorts destroyed the first creation, they're going to destroy this creation. That's when all hell is going to break loose during the tribulation period. And he's going to turn, God is going to allow that all the Satan's cohorts that destroyed the first Eden and the first world are going to go back out to destroy this one. And then God is going to put it back together. And for 1,000 years, it's going to be a perfect paradise again, a perfect Eden again. And then he's going to turn Satan's cohorts out again and say, because they're not going to be involved in this at all. And they're going to go out and tear things up again, and God is going to zap it, and he's going to purify it. This time he's going to refine it with fire. The world that was destroyed by Satan. The world of old was destroyed by water. And now, in the end, the world that we live on shall be destroyed and refined by fire. Finally, God's fire. Not Satan's fire, not Satan's temper, but God's fire and God's purifying grace. Let's go a little bit further. The cross must come before the Greeks can really come to Jesus. All right. Ho de Jesus. Apo crinete autos legon telilete he ora en doxaste hoviosu anthropu. God is going to become man. God is going to become flesh. Tangible. 12:24. Amen, amen. Lego himen. Ion me ho kogos. C2, Aeson, Aes, Tain, Gain, Apophone, Altois, Monos, Mene, En, De, Apophane, Palin, Carpon, Dere. Now Jesus is trying to give an illustration of how he has to die. The God of glory has to die. John in the first chapter told us how the God of glory became flesh. And that we beheld this fury full of grace, full of truth, full of grace, charis, and full of aletheia. Aletheia means what? What does aletheia mean? That's truth, all right, but what does aletheia mean? Cindy, you remember what aletheia means? Brother Roger, aletheia.
Is that the one with that shadow?
No shadows. There was no darkness in Jesus, only light. John the third chapter tells you that. Remember, he is the light of the world. All right? No shadows in him, no darkness. The father and author of darkness is who? Lucifer. Contrast between light and darkness. Amen, amen. Truly, truly, I say to you. Now, this is kind of a real difficult syntactical sentence right here. Truly, truly, I say to you, first person, second person, to you all, daily plural, second person pronoun, if here can possibly translate it into first class conditional, it's a sense, not the grain of wheat having fallen onto the earth. All right? Right there is where it stops. How can you take grain off of a wheat plant or a barley plant and keep it? Where do they usually used to keep them? Where do they keep them in Egypt? Cindy knows this better than I do. Was there grain in Egypt, Cindy? That is 4,000 and 5,000 and 6,000 years old. And it was still, it didn't sprout, did it? Because it didn't germinate. It has to have soil and it has to have water. You can take wheat or barley or oats, whatever, and you can put them in a container and kind of what we call store it. And it won't sprout. And it's just there. And as long as it's like that, it's not going to have any life, is it? It's just going to be there. It's just going to be a wheat. It's just going to be a barley. It's just going to be an oat or whatever. It's not going to make new life. Jesus is trying to describe to them, we have a kokos here. The kokos of wheat, C2, it has fallen unto the ground. Look at that word, astain, gain. Astain, gain. If it dies, if he dies, this grain alone, if it doesn't die, the grain has to disintegrate. The grain has to germinate. And when the grain germinates, the whole of the grain just starts to disintegrate. You understand what I'm talking about? And roots go out. And something goes above the ground, something goes below the ground, but it makes life. But if you just keep the seed by itself, it just stays intact and it does not give any new life at all. It just sits there, stagnant, dormant. Jesus said, I can't live dormant. I can't live a stagnant life. I can't come into this world and just go on and live through it. And I can live for 10,000 years. It's not going to do the world one bit of good unless I die. Unless I give my body, my whole facilities, my tangible part. Tangible part. Our tangible flesh always is in a process of dying. But our spirit, we are two parts in tangible software. That isn't affected by the flesh at all. It's not affected by the flesh. It just gets better and better. If we're saved, it just keeps going. Your spirit. What do? Your spirit. The spirit is God's spirit, so it's real. It's your spirit that is in you, that gives you life, is your brand, your mark from God that you will be resurrected. And that's the part of God that's in you that shall never sin. Your soul, that's also software. But the soul is affected by the spirit and by God. The body is always in rebellion. We're here tonight. You push your bodies here and you came here, whether you felt like it or not, Brother Mike, I am so surprised to see you. You're not in good shape tonight, but you're here. That, you know what brought you here? It's that spirit that dwells in you. That's what brought you here. That's why you're here. The spirit affects our bodies, even though it doesn't. God made no provision for the flesh. Our flesh won't live forever. Our souls and our spirits are untouched by the sin of this world. They're untouched, uncontaminated in reality. It's not going to. It doesn't affect our eternal being, but this flesh keeps on dying until we find the croak. The last croak. Grain of wheat. It may die, yet alone it remains. If it does die, much fruit it bears. Much fruit it bears. The word Pharaoh, look at that word Pharaoh. Come from Pharaoh. Third person singular, present, and active. Do you have any questions? We went from 12 what? 12, where did we start tonight? What? 12:16? Through 12:25. Do you have any questions about this or comments about the class tonight? Did you learn something? I hope. From God's Word. Did you learn one thing tonight, Mike? You always tell me you have to get one truth. I hope I just covered the whole thing tonight. Because there's a lot of nuggets of truth in this. They're struggling with who Jesus is. They're struggling. They don't understand. Even the disciples don't understand that God became flesh. They don't understand that. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Go out and do something eternal. Who can I pick on to come up here and dismiss us in prayer? Penny doesn't like to do that. Marilyn, nobody ever gets to see you. You're hiding out all the time, and you've been a good girl. Come on. You can make a bunch of racket over there. Would you like to come up and dismiss us in prayer? You want to do that? Feel like doing that? No. All right. Brother Dick. That depends on you, I guess.
Scrape the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes we have to go down to the dredge.
It's the cream on the top that I see.
Yes, that's right.
Lord, we're just thankful for this time with Brother Jim and teaching and the things that we've been able to learn to see you glorified through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time together. We pray in His name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.